Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us again today for another Drive Time. I'm Brian Coates, sitting in for Pastor Randy Barton, and hope you're having a great day so far today. It's been a beautiful day, an absolutely beautiful day, and looking forward to the weather again tomorrow. I mean, it'll change on Friday. Let's briefly look at that. Sunshine today, temperatures topped out in most areas in the low 70s. Clear tonight, not quite as cool, low 40s. Sunshine on Thursday, mid-70s. Beautiful day. Friday, there is a chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. High near 70. Wind gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. And the chance of rain for Friday is 80%. Then for the weekend, sunshine on Saturday, low 70s. And for the Lord's Day on Sunday, 69 is the high. And there could be a couple of showers. And we're going to take a turn for the cooler side of things next week. Monday, seeing the high is only 55. And Tuesday, the high of 51, sunshine. And so enjoy this beautiful weather again tomorrow and then on Saturday, because we're going to get some cooler weather coming in next week. The Regional Student Convention for Accelerated Christian Education, the School of Tomorrow, is next week at the Wilds. And I'm sure some of them would prefer it being this week because of the beautiful weather, but next week it's going to be a little bit cooler. And I've got two of my children are going to be there. My daughter will be volunteering on staff, and then my son, my oldest son, has several different opportunities to compete there at the Wilds for the Accelerated Christian Education Regional Student Convention, again at the Wilds next week. Pastor Barton talks about that every year. And that'll be a good time for them next week. Let's take a quick look at our daybook today and the general operating budget for Anchor Broadcasting today, and that is sponsoring AM 720, being done so in honor of Chloe Rochester and God's Healing Power. Amen to that. And our thanks goes out to this sponsorship for the general operating budget, and we're honoring Chloe Rochester. The network budget, which includes WGCR.net, the preaching music and video channels, as well as all of everything that takes place online and FM 94.9, all been sponsored by Wayne and Mitzi Fisher in thankfulness for salvation and for their family. Amen to that. And we appreciate Wayne and Mitzi Fisher sponsoring the network, which is FM 94.9, as well as WGCR.net, the preaching music and video channels. I do want to remind you today find your place in the house of God. It's Wednesday, and there's definitely no weather holding you back, no circumstances that would keep you out of God's place of worship tonight. So be in your church for midweek service tonight, and I would encourage you to do that promptly, and bring your prayer requests, bring your Bible, have your family ready to worship God in the middle of the week. My, how we need that now, as much now as we ever have before. So have you heard about the issue with TikTok that's, of course, all over the news today? And somebody said, what's TikTok? I don't have TikTok. Some of you may have it. It is it's a Chinese social media program that, the best I can tell, it focuses on mostly shorter videos, kind of like an Instagram or Facebook reel, sort of like a YouTube with shorter videos, the best I understand it. And it is an entire social media platform. And due to the dangers of it, as well as the Chinese interference and intrusion on American livelihoods, the government has decided to step in and do something about it. The big argument, you know, is free speech and the First Amendment to the Constitution, or the First Bill of Rights. You know, is this a free speech issue, or is this a morality issue? And it's a dangerous thing when the government gets involved in morality. It's a dangerous thing. Unless you have a majority Christian government with Christian leaders and Christian men and women who have the philosophy of Christianity, then it's okay. But when you let morality be controlled by government with no Bible as their basis, then you run into trouble because the morality, the definition of that morality becomes whatever the definition of that man's opinion is. Let me explain that a little better. If I've got an opinion, it can only go that far. I can only take you as far as the definition of my opinion will go. But when I'm basing my thought process on the Word of God, there is no limit to that because the Word of God rightly divides and rightly, the Bible says, it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man can only be controlled correctly by the fence of the Scripture. And when we leave that and go into man's opinion, we have problems. So I'm not a fan of TikTok. Some of you may be. It's not going to hurt my feelings if it's gone. Some are arguing, is this a free speech issue? I don't think that it is because it is affecting greatly. It's affecting our society, and it is somewhat of an intrusion from the Chinese. So even if it's a free speech issue, not controlling it is basically allowing other countries to have access to the media and the minds of our American public. So that's a matter of opinion. But the Bible says, David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And we ought to make the right choice when it comes to our social media and platforms such as TikTok and YouTube and anything else for that matter. And again, from an opinion standpoint, we can all say, you know, TikTok is disastrous for the young people that we're around. And it's a disaster for all sorts of things and environments, that family environments, work environments. It can be terrible. But then there's also those that say, you know, that platform is just like any other social media platform that can be used for the gospel. And that is an argument. That's a valid argument. But I just, you know, you look at it and you think, okay, is this providing more harm than good? And you have to weigh that out. And when it comes to foreign government intrusion, you have to choose the road that's more beneficial and safer for our American public. Like I said, I have no use for TikTok at all. I think it's a disaster. But then those that are making that argument, is this free speech? Well, in my opinion, because it's used for so much bad, the idea that we need to preserve it just to have that free speech can be used on all. I mean, there's YouTube, there's Instagram Reels, there's Facebook Reels, there's Twitter and X and all of this. There's Rumble, which is a conservative platform for videos. There's other ways to get videos out there. They're not restricting the distribution of videos. They're looking at this specific platform of TikTok that is being used for things that are unsafe for the American public. So I'm looking forward to hearing what the result of that argument in Congress is going to be. Today, the House passed it, passed the ruling against TikTok, and it seems as though perhaps the Senate will be arguing about it from now, and don't know what the end result of that's going to be, but we're going to keep an eye on it. It's a big deal. It really is a big deal. There's like over 100 million American accounts on TikTok, which are subject to a lot of snooping and spying. And I would say all social media accounts are that. And let me, not trying to get on a high horse with this, but the truth of it is, you know, putting your children and putting your personal life and your personal information on any social media account is dangerous, no matter how tight you lock it down. Some of the biggest companies in the world cannot keep their cybersecurity on the up and up. People are having a lot of trouble, you know, with their online activity. So I would just be careful with what you put on social media. The other thing that I noticed that popped up in the news today was the European Union is the first in the world to pass a law governing artificial intelligence. That's also an interesting discussion and how that... The first time I ever, you know, artificial intelligence isn't as new as people think. You know, you throw around the term AI, those two letters, and I guess the younger generation thinks that it's a new thing. It's really not. I mean, for years you've had, what is it, Siri on Apple and Alexa on Amazon, and other sources of, you know, we had this little, we don't have it anymore. We got rid of it because, you know, it can be a threat, a problem to your intellectual property, which is, you know, things that you have online and things that you store on the internet. It was a little beady round computer, about as big as a cat head biscuit. And we got that thing and we set it up on the dresser and plugged it in, and the lights came on. It was just a little black box, little round black box, and this light came on, and you're supposed to speak to it. So, and some of y'all are like, oh, I still have one of those. That's fine. That's fine for you to have it, but we got rid of it because, you know, of the online intrusion that we felt like we were facing. So you from anywhere, as long as it can hear you, you could say, "Hey Alexa," and the light would come on, and you would say, "What's today's weather?" And the box would speak back to you. Some of you have that. Or, "Hey Alexa, play my favorite playlist," and Amazon Music would pop up, and it would be the Rochesters or whatever I have in my Amazon playlist. And your phones do the same thing. So I've got this iPhone right here, and really it's doing the same thing. I can choose to turn it off and put it in another room and walk away from it and, you know, unplug it, put it outside from time to time, just because you can pick the thing up and say, "Hey Siri, what is today's weather?" And it'll tell you, "Hey Siri, how long does it take to get from here to California?" And it will tell you, "Hey Siri, what is the recipe for fried potatoes?" And it'll pop up some articles for you to read. "Hey Siri," really ask Siri anything. As a matter of fact, it just woke up. My phone's trying to respond to me right now. It's listening. So although we use these technologies, whether it's an Amazon Alexa box, those things are pretty neat how they work, or whether it's a phone or whether it's a computer, we use these technologies for the cause of Christ and for our own convenience. But let me ask you two questions. Question number one is this: are we really more efficient with our time and our efforts and our energy now that we have all these conveniences? Or have we fallen into a society that's even more stressed and having more difficulties than we've ever had before, even though we have all the technology and the conveniences that we had before? And I would say we're definitely more pressured than we've ever been with more conveniences that we've ever had. Question number two is this: are we willing to make that trade? Is it worth the trade to have a convenience in order to, you know, supposedly make life better? It's not. It's not better that way. I have on my Apple account, somebody talked me into that years ago. I can't remember who it was. But I've got my Mac laptop here. I've got an iPad that was given to me, an iPad mini that was given to me, and an iPhone, and an Apple Watch that was given to me. All those things tie together. And on any of those devices, I can pull up any of my information. The watch is a little limited, but on the rest of it, I can tie it all together. So tonight when I go to church, I'll bring one of my devices with me to the pulpit. And rather than having the handwritten notes, I just turn on my iPad mini and there's my notes. They pop up in real time, just as if I had typed them up right then. I have hundreds and hundreds of sermon outlines and lessons and messages that are in that Apple cloud and that I can share with anybody. There's from time to time after the service, somebody will send me a text and say, "Hey Pastor, can you send me that outline? I missed a point or didn't hear the whole thing, or I'd like to have a copy of that," and I can just send it to them. It's so convenient, so amazing, so wonderful how all of that works. But yet, as convenient as it all is, I mean, we're on the, Pastor Barton has said for years, since I was a teenager, I can remember him saying, you know, Anchor Broadcasting is on the cutting edge of technology, and it is. We are. I mean, with the music channel, the video channel, the preaching channel, the network is a beautiful thing, and you need to utilize that. The app, the ABN app, you can go and look for Anchor Broadcasting on the App Store and download that free app, and I use it frequently. I love it. So what's the point of all this? whether it's TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or artificial intelligence or whatever, there are dangers to it and there are necessities for it. So me and my family are going on vacation at the end of the month. We're taking a whole week and leaving town and going to South Georgia to a place that we go to every year. And there was another place that we wanted to visit while we were there. So it's a preacher's retreat that we go stay at. So I got my phone up. I didn't have to pull out a Rand McNally Atlas. I didn't have to track anything down. I didn't have to make any phone calls. About a minute and a half later, I knew exactly how far everything was from everything we were going to go to. And what we were doing is we were trying to figure out how much gas it would cost us to do all of this. So we were going through and tracking mileage and multiplying that times the national gas average, which is going up along with inflation, regardless of what you're being told on the television. It's all going up. And that modern convenience is a great thing to have. But also, I can tell you, I know for a fact that families are being destroyed, lives are being ruined, marriages are being broken up, children are being poisoned by the perversion of the same things. What God makes to be perfect, Satan always makes perverted. And God, I remember Preacher Ray Aiken said, oh man, this is years ago. I think it was at Charathon. He used to do Tuesday morning of Charathon. And he was up in the middle of the auditorium there at Anchor Baptist Church, just down the hallway here. He was making a comment, and he said, God don't make no junk. And what he was getting at, and he went on to say that there's a lot of intelligent people that have come up with a lot of amazing devices and the modern surgical advances that we have nowadays, and the ability to work on somebody's eye with a laser. And when our youngest, after he was born, we noticed that he had a lip tie and a tongue tie, and we took him to this holistic dentist, and we were like, what can we do about it? And the dentist had a piece of equipment there that said, even though we have this way and this way to do things, there's some things that you can only use that are most conveniently done with this new equipment that they had. And it was a laser machine, and it would go in, it went in, and it fixed his tongue tie and his lip tie in just a matter of moments from this piece of machinery that was built by some man. Even the phone that I have in my hand has got more complexities to it than some of the largest computers that NASA had in the 60s when they started, traveling great distances from the surface of the Earth. We've got greater computers in our pockets now. So what's the point of all this? Daniel said that in the last days, knowledge would be increasing. And my wife told me a long time ago, she said, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to get smarter necessarily. It just means they're going to have access to knowledge. She was sharing with me that she thought that Google and Safari and all of this, all these search engines were a sign or an agreement with the scripture, that is, that knowledge increases, and it does. I mean, it's amazing the knowledge that you have at your fingertips, that if you went back 150 years, it would take you a month of horseback riding and walking and candlelight and quills and ink and all kinds of tracking down to get a piece of information that and gather it into an article or a paragraph that you and I can now get in a matter of moments through the internet. It's amazing what can be done now. It's amazing what can be tracked down now and what can be seen now. I do a lot of research on towns around the world that have no gospel witness. And when I was a kid preacher, when I was a young preacher, I would think about those things, and I thought, how would you even know? You had to go into a town and look and see if you could find if there's a preacher there and ask around, and how would you know? Well, now it's just a matter of Apple Maps and Safari and Google. I've done a lot of research on the northern border from the Great Lakes all the way to Seattle, and there's hundreds, not dozens, hundreds of towns just in that stretch of land between U.S. Highway 2 and the Canadian border, hundreds of towns that have never had a Bible preacher set foot in that town. Hundreds. And so I did a lot of research in that area. And it's interesting to me. It's fascinating to me, really. The way that we can look into all that now just by using the internet. You can go to a town and you can Google, in quotes, Baptist church and the town name, and it will tell you. Now, that's, you know, sometimes that's not even a good thing. I mean, so there's some Baptist churches that, you know, there's different flavors of Baptist even that are not up to par in their doctrine and in their principles and in their behaviors. So one region that I've been looking at is southwestern Australia. I went to, I did a missions, the first missions conference that I ever did years ago was for Pastor Stan Craig at the Choice Hills Baptist Church in northern Greenville County. And he got in a big way, and if you knew anything about Pastor Stan Craig, he was just a very, very excited person. And he got in a big way, and he said, Choice Hills Baptist Church needs to send a missionary to the uttermost part of the earth. Well, the organist that night went home and got on the internet and did some geometric tracking using geometry and the sphere of the earth and the mileage and the circumference and all of that, and found that the furthest distance from Greenville, South Carolina was like a couple hundred miles out in the ocean away from Gracetown, Australia. That was the zone that was the furthest point from Greenville, South Carolina. Okay, so we got it in our heart to take on a project there. Well, I was going to go myself. And then during that time that I had planned to go, we'd already made all the preparation for it. I ended up in a revival meeting that lasted several weeks and didn't get to go to Australia. That's still in my heart to go. There will be a time sooner than later that I will go and spend a couple of weeks. I've got some preachers that are wanting to go with me. But that whole region of Australia, and you can type in Gracetown, Australia. It's about 500 people that live there. There's, at the time of research, there was no gospel witness there, and there were dozens of towns surrounding it that had no gospel witness. And so we just plan on landing in Perth, which is the nearest big city, and getting a van or a car and driving on down to Gracetown area and going to those surrounding towns and knocking on every door and distributing the gospel to those people. And that is, and I could tell you stories right now. I mean, we've got Brother Fanning on a trip right now. We've got, and I could go around the world. We could talk about it. You know, Brother Jeremy is in from Mongolia, and he's fixing to go back. Brother Murray, I talked to him yesterday in South America, and he's doing a great job working down there. And my mind just goes to name after name after name after name of men that are spreading the gospel and women that are spreading the gospel around the world using technology. And it's an amazing thing to be able to do that. To be, when we went to, me and my wife, our family was able to share the gospel in 35 towns before I became a pastor. And it was actually more than 35, but our goal was 35 towns. We knocked on every door in 35 towns in the western U.S. It was Colorado, Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota, and Maine, the state of Maine. And in those states, we distributed, we had what we called power packs. There were plastic door hangers that you'd hang on somebody's door, and inside that power pack was a Bible, a gospel tract, a children's coloring page that told them that Jesus loved them, information about the nearest local New Testament Bible-believing church, and a DVD. And on that DVD was a 7-minute message that I preached behind the pulpit at Anchor Baptist Church. And we had a professional photographer from the news station in Asheville that came up and recorded the video for us. And we placed that gospel message into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes. There was one church that was started off of that, and it was a great time. But we used technology, see. We got all of our data, all of our information. We didn't, there were towns that we'd go into, all of these towns had no gospel witness in that town. We would put the nearest church information in there. And sometimes that would be an hour away to find the nearest church. My father-in-law, where he pastors, he is 130 miles, I think it is, 130 miles from the next closest church of like faith to him. And yet we use technology to gather this information and to get the gospel to these people. So when it comes to a ban on TikTok or restrictions on artificial intelligence, God gave men the ability and women the ability to develop these technological advances, I believe with all my heart, for the cause of Christ. And if these platforms could be used exclusively for that, that would be wonderful, but they're not. The devil gets into that, and he absolutely becomes destructive with it. He uses what God makes perfect to motivate perversion and hatred and bitterness and anger, and the flames of hell grip a hold of people using technological advances that God gave men's brains to build for the use of the... Mark 13:10 says, the gospel must first be published among all nations. Before the end comes, I say the end, before God sets up his kingdom in this world, with Jesus Christ on his throne in the city of David, in Jerusalem, on David's throne in Jerusalem, before that happens, the gospel must first be published among all nations. I believe that in this dispensation, before we go into the tribulation period, God has given us an effectual open door to do that. And technology is one of the ways for that to be done. No doubt about that. AM 720, 50,000 watt powerhouse of the gospel has undoubtedly reached people that otherwise would not have been reached. 94.9, WGCR.net, the preaching music, the video channel. We know it to be the case. Sherathon, a man in his 60s, was born again during Sherathon. And we've had many other opportunities. Technology is a very, very important thing. Can it be abused? Yes. Can it be misused? Yes. Can it be taken in the wrong direction? Yes. Can somebody get it in their hands and let the devil do some horrible work with something that... You think about YouTube. Okay, you can go on YouTube right now and watch J. Harold Smith preach for over an hour on God's three deadlines. Tens of thousands of people heard that message, and thousands were saved listening to that message. You can go on YouTube right now and listen to that. Watch it. You can watch J. Harold Smith, who's in heaven right now. You can watch him preach that message. You can watch Billy Sunday. You ought to look it up. You can watch Billy Sunday 100 years ago. You can watch Billy Sunday go on stage and preach against alcohol on YouTube. You can find that. It's amazing what you can see. And yet the devil gets a hold of that and destroys the minds of young people and old people alike, takes the marriages that God has put together and ripped them all to pieces, destroyed the very pure minds of young people. It is absolutely disastrous what the devil does to things that God has opened. I'm not here to say God endorses any of that. God does not endorse any of this behavior. God's against all of this bitterness and anger and wrath and malice that's found on these social media sites. But he allows the technology for us to be able to, I think, you know, during Sherathon on Facebook, we would, you know, there was each singing group would do a good song and we'd try to get it on Facebook or try to get it recorded so that other people could see it, because technology is wonderful, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or whatever it is, Instagram. But the devil can also use it for destructive purposes as well. So it's an argument, and you have to weigh it out in the balances and determine that if you're going to use it, that you use it for the cause of Christ. You make sure that you have accountability, and you make sure that you have proper filters to be able to enjoy the technology that God has allowed us to have through the works of man's inventions and his ingenuity. Don't forget church tonight. Be at your place of worship on Wednesday night. Tonight, do not forget to be at the house of God. Several prayer requests this week have been called in. A gentleman needing the Lord's help with a work situation and for the Lord to help his coworkers. Also for somebody named Charles who has heart failure, a granddaughter who made a profession of faith when she was younger but making poor decisions now, a two-year-old great-grandson, that God would protect him so that he could be raised in a Christian environment, and also for a man who had open-heart surgery several days ago, going home but having some problems and back in the hospital. So please pray for these objects. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for technology. Help us to use it for the cause of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm Brian Coates, sitting in for Pastor Randy Barton. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.